welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeVeonier. Stay tuned for an hour of drama. Later on, we'll hear an episode of The Marriage with Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin. But right now, it's the Hollywood Soundstage, featuring Paul Douglas and Isabel Jewell. In the same year of this next broadcast, Isabel Jewell was starring on four TV series and bit parts like Mr. and Mrs. North and The Fireside Theater. In this next episode from CBS, she stars as the female lead in The Informer from February 7th, 1952.
This is Paul Douglas.
This is Isabel Jewell.
This is Tom Powers.
And this is Hugh Douglas saying, welcome to Hollywood Soundstage. Another Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen. Another high adventure on Hollywood Soundstage. Tonight, it's a transcribed story you will long remember. One of the greatest dramas ever brought to the screen. An Academy Award winner that has remained the standard by which all other pictures are judged. Hollywood Soundstage is proud to bring you RKO's unforgettable hit, The Informer. Starring Paul Douglas, Isabel Jewell, Tom Powers, and the Screen Guild Players. Ireland, during the Great Trouble, when every dark night brought its killings and every morning its reprisals. The countryside policed by the British military, the hated Tans. The people sullen and secreted, invisibly leagued against the enemy, England. Dublin, a shabby section near the waterfront. A night that's out of a witch's tale. Fog stretching its ghostly fingers through the streets and wrapping the town in a heavy white shroud. Thick, damp, swirling fog in which men come and go like shadows, their voices hushed as though fearful of their own sound. And on one of those miserable, darkened streets, a little group standing before a brick wall, staring up at a poster that's been pasted there and muttering among themselves.
Frankie McPhillip's face on a poster. 'Tis an evil day we see it there.
Aye, £20 the Tans be offering for him. Sedition against the crown, no less.
£20? 'Tis a fortune it is.
And curse the man that would be soiling his hands with it.
They melt away into the night. And as they go, another figure comes lumbering through the fog. Jip O'Nolan. A great hulk of a man slouching despondently along the street. He sees the poster and stops, stares at it moodily, lost in his thoughts. And then finally, almost without knowing it.
So they got your face in a poster, Frankie. And they're offering £20 for you, eh?
£20?
Sure, and I'd break the man in two to tell on you for £20.
£20?
It was me best friend you were, Frankie. Do you mind that we used to laugh and drink together?
£20?
But it's no drinking I've been doing lately. And little eating either, without a copper in me jeans.
£20.
You needn't worry about me, Frankie. I'd not be the one to inform on you. I'd not be the one that...
£20.
Stop it. I won't be thinking a thing like
£20.
That'll stop it. I've ripped it down. I won't be seeing it. I won't be thinking it. God help me. I'll not be cursed for no £20 like that.
And so he lurches off through the fog, down the dimly lit street, fighting the terrible thought in his mind. And suddenly something catches his eye. In front of a little travel agency, a girl and a man.
It's a good time you'll be having, miss. I'll treat you proper, I will.
I've told you no. Go along with you now.
Would you be passing up an evening's pleasure like that? With maybe dinner first?
With dinner?
Aye, the very best. I'm an easy man with money, miss, and for a girl
let
like
go, you...
Let
go, you scotchy! I'll be teaching you, Jeff!
Stop it! Take your hands off me! Now put me down!
I'll put you down,
oh,
all
no,
right!
Jippo.
10 feet from here!
Oh, Jippo, you've hurt him.
Bad luck to him. It serves him right. And you, Katie, what have you got to say?
Oh, Jippo, what's the use? I'm hungry and I can't pay my room rent.
So you'd go along with the likes of him. You'd go along and you'd...
Jippo, don't look at me like that. You know you're the only one for me. But what chance have we got? Money, that's all that counts. Yeah.
Katie, I...
Look in the window there. It says travel, see the world. America for £20. Sure, £20. The world is ours for £20.
£20.
What are you saying that for?
Saying what?
£20.
What are you driving at?
Oh, Jippo, my arm! What's the matter with you?
£20. Go on, get it from the scut I threw in the gutter.
Saint Jippo. Too good for me, eh? Well, let me tell you something. You're no better than any other man. You're all alike.
Ah, Katie, I didn't mean that.
Along with your fine principles. Me, I can't afford them. Good night.
Katie! £20. It would make all the difference, it would. £20
hey,
would...
Jippo! Jippo!
Who's that? Where are you?
Here, right back of you, Jippo, in the alley.
What's the matter, Jippo? Don't you know me?
Frankie McPhillip!
Hey, not so loud. sure, Jippo, I'm in luck to find you. Me own best friend. The one man in the world
that
I...
£20.
Hey, what is it, Jippo? What are you staring at?
Nothing, Frankie, nothing. Only you came on me so sudden-like.
I guess I'm getting jumpy, having a price on me head. You know, 6 months is a long time, me boyo, to be on the run out in the hills. Hey, did you deliver the last message, Jippo? What did me mother say?
Yeah, she blessed the saints you were alive, and then she followed me out crying and put a quid in me hand to give you. But I had no way of finding you, and I was that hungry myself that I spent it.
You big lover, she likes you. That was her way of giving you some...
£20.
Hey, what's come over you, Jippo? What are you gawking at? Is there anything queer about me?
No, Frankie, you see, Frankie, I've been caught Martian.
Huh? What for, man?
For not finishing the tan that killed Quincannon. I took him out in the lorry and he begged for his life, and I couldn't do it, Frankie, not in cold blood. And besides, he swore he'd desert if I let him go.
You're a man, and you believed him? Well, what did Commandant Gallagher say?
Well, he nearly had me plugged when I got back, and then he threw me out of the organization. Now the British think I'm with the Irish, and the Irish think I'm with the British, and... The long and short of it is I'm going around starving with nary a dog to lick me trousers.
Ah, she, your poor Amadon. And to think of the jobs we pulled together. Your muscles and my wits. Your strength and my plans. And the minute I leave you, you're in trouble. Sure, man alive, I'm your brain.
That you are, Frankie. You're my brain, all right.
Ah, but it's your help I'm needing now. Hey, are the Tans still watching the house? Are they on the...
£20.
Hey, quit gaping, man. I say, is there a guard on the house?
No. Not now. Not since Christmas.
Then I'm off to see me mother and sister. Up the rebels, Jippo! Up the rebels!
Don't think of him, Jippo. Think of me. I'm hungry, Jippo. I can't pay me rent. Money, Jippo. That's all that counts.
Be still.
The world is ours for £20.
Be still, I said.
£20, Jippo. £20.
£20. £20.
All right, Nolan. You can sit over there.
Yes, sir.
Take off your cap. Put that cigarette out. There's no smoking in headquarters.
I told you where you'd find Frankie McPhillip. Why don't you pay me off and leave me go?
The information you gave is being checked. You'll have to wait.
Sitting here like this. Just sitting and waiting. And... Oh, for the love of God, sir, let me have a cigarette.
It's not allowed. Headquarters? Yes? I see. Very good.
Was that them now?
Yes. They found Frankie McPhillip at his home. He tried to escape. He was killed.
Killed?
Here's your £20. You may go now.
killed. Killed. I never thought he'd be killed. I got to have a plan. I got to have a plan.
A plan, Gippo?
What's that?
Don't you know me, Gippo? Don't you know me, boys? And have you forgotten? I'm your brain. You can't think without me. You can't make a plan.
Frankie! Frankie!
It is a sad day, this, for the McPhillips, Bartley.
Aye, Tommy. And may the informer be cursed with his 20 pounds.
Aye, aye. Poor Mary, losing her brother like that. And loving Dan Gallagher like she does. And apt to lose him, too, if the Tans ever get their hands on him.
Tommy, have you noticed Gippo?
Gippo?
He's been sitting over there for an hour now. Hands rammed down into his pockets and not a word out of him.
Aye. He might at least have the decency to speak some comfort to Frankie's mother.
Hey, wait. Look. He's getting up now. He's coming over.
What the devil's wrong with him?
Mrs. McPhillip. Mrs. McPhillip.
Oh, Gippo. Gippo.
I'm sorry for your trouble, Mrs. McPhillip.
What are you shouting for, Gippo?
And take your hands out of your pockets, man. Show some respect for the dead. That's better. That's...
Money.
What's that?
He dropped some coins, Gippo. Here, I'll...
Leave them alone.
Well, I only wanted to hand them.
Leave them alone. I say they're mine. Mine, I tell you. I swear before God I warned him to stay away from this house.
Oh, good heavens, man. There's no one suspects ye.
Aye, Gippo. Tis well known you're me Frankie's best friend.
Yes, my brother liked you, Gippo.
Mary, Mrs. McPhillip, you were good to me. I'm sorry for your trouble. Here, I'll be leaving these with you. Good night.
Tommy. This afternoon, Gippo didn't have a shilling to his name.
Tis the same thing I be thinking, Bartley. And something Commandant Gallagher should know. And we followed him, Dan. When he'd had enough to drink, we told him you wanted to talk to him. And Bartley's got him outside.
Good work, Tommy. All right, Bartley.
Here he is, Dan.
Hello, Gippo. Well, you don't seem very glad to see me. You've got a grudge against me, Gippo. Why?
There wasn't anything I wouldn't do for you, Dan Gallagher. And then you had me thrown out of the organization. I've been starving for the last 6 months. I got no clothes, no money, no nothing.
You disobeyed orders, Gippo. Endangered the organization. But I'll make a fair deal with you. You'll call everything quits and reinstate you on one condition.
What's that?
That you find the man who informed on Frankie McPhillip.
You mean that? Honest?
Indeed, I do.
Oh, put it there, Dan. I told you I'd do anything for you. How about a drink on it?
Help yourself.
Have one, Tommy. Tommy, have one of the commandants, eh? Here's to you, Dan. That's the stuff. You can count on me, Dan Gallagher. I got a plan.
A plan, Gippo. And where will you get it? I made your plan, remember? I was your brain. I was your...
What's ailing you, Gippo? Are you daft?
Another glass. I need a drink.
Man alive, are you perishing with the drought?
Gippo, remember, you've got a job to do.
A job? Look, Dan, I'll tell you who it was informed.
Who?
It was that rat Mulligan.
Mulligan? The tailor?
It was him, sure as you're born.
How do you make that out?
I tell you, Dan, give me the bottle.
Man alive, right out of the bottle.
Good stuff, that.
Hurry up, man. Make your statement.
You see, Mulligan had a grudge for Frankie on account of his sister. She made a complaint last year, you know, and Frankie was the boy she named.
I never heard of that.
Well, anyway, it's true. It's true. And tonight I saw him gone to the Tans headquarters.
The Tans? What time?
Well, about half after six. Well, Dan, are you taking me back?
If your statement checks up. Court of inquiry at midnight. Ammunition dump. Bartley will pick you up later, Gippo.
You'll find me at Katie's, Bartley, my boy. See you later, Dan. Up the rivers!
It's him, Dan. It's Gippo. I'd stake my life on it.
He's drunk, Bartley.
Drunk it is. It's a wonder he can walk.
But whoever the informer is, we've got to find him. One traitor can destroy us all.
The whole organization.
Follow him, Bartley. Keep at Jippo's heels like a pot of glue.
Right, yeah.
And Tommy.
Aye?
Mobilize a company. Round up Mulligan. We'll find the informer before this night is over.
Mulligan was the guilty man. Mulligan was the informer. In Jippo's chunk, the thought kept pounding, pounding, until it was a fact. And so, released from the terror of the thing he'd done, the big fellow went carousing through the night, drinking, spending his 20 pounds, giving it away. But everywhere he went, Bartley Mulholland was close at hand, watching, keeping count. And then, at last, it was midnight, and Bartley led the drunken giant off to meet the others. A group of stern-faced men, a dim-lit room. But as Jippo looks around in dumb surprise, he sees that one man isn't there.
You let him go! Dan, you let Mulligan go!
You didn't do it, Jippo. We have his oath.
Ah, it's easy for an informer. Swear an oath.
He had an alibi. He was with the priest from 6 to 7.
It's a lie. He's lying to you, Dan.
Jippo, where were you at 6:30?
What's it got to do with it where I was?
Would you like to tell us what you did after meeting Frankie McPhillip?
It's a lie.
Jippo, as you see, Frankie's sister is here. Mary.
Yes, Dan.
I'm sorry, Mary. Will you repeat what your brother told you when he arrived home tonight?
Well, he said he'd met Jippo. He said he waited for him in an alley to find out if there was a guard in the house.
Jippo, is that true?
No.
And why did you cry out at the wake that you'd warned him to stay away from the house?
That's it. I did. That's what I told him.
You did see him then. Why do you tell those lies about Mulligan? Were you drunk or what?
I know. I was drunk, I tell you.
What did you do after meeting Frankie? Tell me.
Suppose I don't.
Then Bartley Mulholland can do it for you. Come on, man. You'd better tell us yourself.
My head is splitting, Dan. I'm all mixed up. I can't remember nothing.
Very well, then. Here's Bartley's report. You broke your first pound in Ryan's for whiskey.
No.
The blind man at the corner said you gave him a pound. 2 more pounds at Savoldi's buying fish and chips for 12 people you never saw before.
But Dan...
7
Dan.
More pounds at 3 different pubs.
Dan...
4 pounds to a woman you passed on the street. Oh. And the last 5 pounds to Katie Madden. 20 pounds, Jippo. It comes to exactly 20 pounds.
Oh, my head is sore. I'm drunk, I tell you.
Where did you get that 20 pounds? Where?
I can't remember. I can't remember nothing.
Confess, man. Confess and ease your soul.
I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know. Can't you see what I mean? Is there no man here to tell him I didn't know what I was doing? My head's sore. I can't tell you.
And no need to now, you filthy...
And not here, men. Stop it. Put down your guns. Take him away.
Come along, Jippo. And mind you, no tricks.
Oh, God, have mercy on him. God, have mercy.
I'm sorry you had to see this, Mary.
Why must we be killing each other? What good will it do? Why can't we have peace? Oh, Dan, it's cruel, cruel.
It's not revenge, you know. With an informer loose, there's not one of us safe. Not one of us would...
Oh,
something's gone
Dan.
Wrong. Bartley!
Dan. Hey! Danny got away. He made a break for it.
There were shots. Did you get him?
I don't think so. You can't see your own hand in the fog.
We'll have to work fast, lads. Tommy and Daly,
aye.
Cover the TAN's headquarters front and rear.
Aye.
Bartley, take 12 men and cover the bridges. Slattery, your group will block the main roads. And remember, men, if he reaches the TAN's before we get him, we're done for. The whole movement's done for. Every one of us.
Got to have a plan. We've got to have a plan.
A plan, Jippo. Is it a plan you need?
Frankie! Frankie!
I could give you a plan. I'm your brain, remember?
Frankie, help me. Help me now, Frankie.
No, I'll not be giving you the plan. On account of what you did to me mother. I'll not forgive you, Jippo. Not until me mother does.
No, Frankie. No! No! Casey, are you there?
Who is it? Who is it, Doc?
It's Jippo, open up. Quick.
Jippo.
Close it, Katie. They're after me.
Jippo, you put the heart crosswise
in me. I'll not be getting me, though. We'll go away, Katie. Katie, you and me.
Jippo.
Where's the 20 pounds I gave you?
20 pounds? What are you talking about?
I done it for you. That's what I couldn't tell Dan. Dan Gallagher, he wouldn't understand.
You did what? What did you do?
Katie, I informed on Frankie.
Informed?
Oh, that's how I love you, Katie. Now you're the only one I can trust. Oh, do you love me, Katie? Say you do. It's what I need now to hear you say it. Katie, love me. Love me, Katie.
Sure. Sure, I'll love you when I'm play, darling. But you don't know what you've done to me this night. You don't know what you've done.
Katie, I'm tired, Katie.
Lie down, Jippo. You're on the bed. Lie down and rest yourself now.
Tired, Katie, tired. Running through the fog. Tired.
Sleep, Jippo. Try and get some sleep. Don't worry, darling. Katie will look after you. Somehow, Katie will look after you. Come in, and I'm begging you. Oh, you wouldn't hurt him if you knew how it was.
Katie, in the church next door, there's a mother kneeling at the altar praying for the soul of her dead boy. Jippo did that.
He did it for me. For me, I tell you. Oh, may God forgive me for shaming him with his own poverty and blaming him for mine. He didn't know what he was doing. Oh, let him go.
I'm afraid that isn't within my power.
Miss McPhillip, you ask him. He'll listen to you.
Oh, Dan, just this once, couldn't you?
Mary, I'm sorry. The Tans will never let him alone now. Where is he, Katie?
He's in my room. The other side of the church. Oh, please, Miss McPhillip, don't let him do it. I'm not the kind of girl you are, but I love Jippo nonetheless for being what I am. Oh, you must know you're in love, too.
Please. Oh, Dan, I...
You're in love with him. I can tell by your eyes. Suppose you were begging for his life now. Suppose it was him you were pleading for.
It is me and all the others who are fighting for what we believe.
You won't do it. I can see you won't do it.
Mary, wait here for me. I'll be back.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Please, miss. May I kneel down beside you?
Oh, yes. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Amen.
As it is in heaven.
On his feet.
He's done for, Bartley. He's got 5 slugs in him.
Look, he's making for the church.
The church? Mrs. McPhillip's in there.
Dan, I've got another slug left.
No, Tommy. Let him go. He'll be needing to make his peace with God.
Mrs. McPhillip. Mrs. McPhillip.
Jippo. Jippo, be all the saints.
T'was
I informed on your son, Mrs. McPhillip. Forgive me. You got to forgive me.
I forgive you, Chico. You couldn't have known what you were doing.
Frankie! Frankie! Your mother forgives me! She forgives me, Frankie! She...
Oh, Gippo. Gippo. God rest your soul.
You have just heard a radio adaptation of RKO's famous Academy Award winner, The Informer. Paul Douglas is a production for RKO, Clash by Night, which also stars Barbara Stanwyck, Robert Ryan, and Marilyn Monroe. Tom Powers will soon be seen in The Texas Man, a Universal International picture. Also heard in our cast tonight were Frank Nelson, Bob Sweeney, Norman Field, Dan O'Herlihy, Ted Osborne, Jane Morgan, and Paula Winslow.
The Hollywood Soundstage on Tuned to Yesterday from February 7th, 1952 on CBS. Paul Douglas was in 4 motion pictures in the year of that episode, notably in the film We're Not Married, co-starring Ginger Rogers, Fred Allen, Victor Moore, Eddie Bracken, and Marilyn Monroe. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVernier. And now one of the stage's most popular couples, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, team up for an episode of The Marriage. Ben's father visits in this NBC episode from February 7th, 1954.
Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in The Marriage. With the conviction that marriage remains the most popular domestic arrangement between friendly people, NBC takes pleasure in presenting by transcription one of the most distinguished couples of the American theater, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, as Liz and Ben Marriott in the love and laughter of The Marriage. On the day that my father retired from his position as elementary school principal, he announced to the family that he did not intend to run down like an 8-day clock at the end of the week. He signed up for handball lessons at the YMCA and matriculated at Rutgers University for a doctorate in ancient history. We don't see Father often. Occasionally, the family has a pleasant get-together after the funeral of some distant cousin. But recently, we saw quite a lot of him. My sister Virginia, that's the unmarried one, was off to California for 3 weeks, and we inherited Father. We were discussing at a dinner one night, the night he was scheduled to arrive.
What time did Grandpa get here?
Peter, try that again without benefit of mashed potatoes.
It was string beans.
Oh, I should have known. The vowels come out French.
Oh.
What time does Grandpa get here?
I don't know. He's supposed to telephone from Penn Station.
Isn't Virginia bringing him in?
Well, why should she?
Ben, your father's 72.
Don't worry. He has all his faculties.
I thought he wasn't principal anymore.
It's a different kind of faculty, Dopey.
Peter, it means thinking. When some people get very old, sometimes they don't think as well as they used to. They don't remember things. Their minds just slow down.
Oh. How old are you, Pop?
Never mind.
I wish we could figure out some way so he didn't have to sleep on the couch. Maybe we could give him our bed. Well, I could sleep on the couch and you...
Yeah, there's always a hook in the hall closet.
I'll get it, Mommy.
Thank you, dear.
Emily, well, 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 Emily.
Well, it can't be.
It's Grandpa! Grandpa!
Hello,
but Virginia wrote...
Hello.
He was supposed to call.
Maybe he took a cab. Well, Father Marriott.
Elizabeth, my dear, good evening. Now, don't get up. Good evening, Benjamin.
Father, good evening.
Well, well, Emily. Are you big enough so I can start kissing you again?
Oh, Grandpa.
I presume I can shake hands with you, Peter.
If you don't mind, Grandpa.
Not at all. There.
Wow, what a grip.
Father, you were supposed to call from the station.
Did you take a taxi?
I walked. Walked?
But Penn Station must be 30 blocks away.
31. Allowing for crosstown blocks, I estimated at 1 8/10 miles.
What'd you do it in, Grandpa?
An average of slightly under 2 1/2 miles per hour. Counting traffic lights, there was a stiff headwind.
Have you had dinner? It won't take me a minute to heat up the gravy.
No, no, thank you. I had sandwiches on the train. I brought them in a shoebox.
Are you sure? There's a whole roast left,
now,
really.
Now, please, Elizabeth.
I'll just fix a nice plate.
No.
No?
No, thank you. I really don't want you to trouble. It's a principle with me. Man has one quality which separates him from the animals. Does anyone know what it is?
Pop has his hand up.
I'm just scratching my ear. Well, Benjamin, the quality which separates man from the animals...
What? Oh, opposable thumb?
No, Benjamin. Primarily adaptability. I pride myself on it. I don't want you to trouble about me. I will adjust to you.
That's very sweet of you. But you will have coffee and dessert with us.
Coffee? Is it decaffeinated?
Oh, I'm afraid not.
Father, we really don't drink much coffee.
Well, I'll take a glass of milk, if it's all right. If you have plenty for the children.
Oh, you can have mine, Grandpa.
Never mind, Pete. I'll get you a glass of milk right now. Emily, will you clear?
Sure, Mom.
Elizabeth, is the coffee on the stove heating?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Then it wouldn't be too much additional trouble to replace the pot with a saucepan. Would it require turning on another unit?
No, it wouldn't.
Fine. Then I'll take my milk slightly warmed, as long as it's no additional trouble.
Oh, it's no trouble.
And just a scant teaspoon of honey?
Father always was an active conversationalist. I remember breakfast when I was little as a very educational experience. Now he sipped his warm milk and debated with Pete the merits of the leather clutch in the 1911 Rolls-Royce. He hadn't changed. I remember the precise gesture with which he told off on his fingers the major points of his discourse. I'd always remembered his hair as gray. The glass of his bifocals couldn't hide that sparkle in his eye. At 9 o'clock precisely, he took his thin gold watch from his vest pocket, snapped open the lid, then snapped it shut again.
It's been a long time, but I seem to remember 9 o'clock as the customary retiring hour for young gentlemen of Peter's age.
You mean I have to go to bed?
It's your bedtime, Pete.
Go
on now. Say goodnight to Grandfather.
Good night, Grandpa.
Good night, Peter.
Do I have to, Pop?
Go ahead, Pete. And no sneaking in a flashlight to read under the covers.
Okay. Good night.
At 10 o'clock, Emily went in to finish her homework. Liz and Father and I sat in the living room and talked. Father had just read an article on progressive trends in education.
In my school, I always saw to it that the children graduated knowing at least 100 facts of cardinal importance.
But who chose which 100 facts were the most important?
I did.
Oh. Did the children enjoy it?
I don't think so. From 1928 until I retired, I believe I was known to several generations of students as Old Picklehead. It used to appear on the walls of the washrooms with remarkable consistency. I had a custodian working an hour a day erasing it.
But do you think it was really worth it?
No. Children will write on walls in washrooms.
I mean the 100 facts.
Father, I don't think you mean to say that the purpose of education is only to...
Excuse me, Benjamin. I see it is exactly 11:27. I suggest we continue this discussion at breakfast.
Well, I just wanted to make this point. I think
you
that it's all
do
right...
You do have to appear at your office tomorrow, Benjamin.
Yes, I do.
I think 11:30 is late enough, then.
Really, Father, we don't usually
I find
go...
that regularity in sleeping schedules contributes to general peace of mind.
Well, I suppose we should get some sleep. Liz?
It is 11:27.
Yes, it is 11:27.
11:28. Good night, Elizabeth. Good night, Benny.
Good night, Father.
Good night.
No.
Neither am I.
Really?
I'm not sleepy at all.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, we don't usually go to bed till around 12:30.
No, we can use the extra sleep.
What extra sleep? I'm going to turn on the light and read. What do you think?
About what?
Your father.
What should I think?
Ben, if I've heard you condemn the fact-stuffing school of education once, I've heard it 1,000 times.
What do you mean?
Well, you just sat there.
Well, now, you don't want me to argue with him, do you?
Why not?
Well, he's 72, and besides, it's not important. And you know, there's something to what he says.
Is there?
Well, the kids don't learn enough facts. You know, Emily didn't know the date of the Norman invasion when Father asked her.
Were you embarrassed?
Oh, a little, sure.
Hmm. You're lucky you didn't call on me. I probably wouldn't have known which country they invaded.
Now, cut it out, Liz. Say, what's the matter, anyway?
Oh, nothing. I don't really know. What's that?
Father must be going to bed. He believes in fresh air for sleeping.
That one was in the kitchen. Father has all the extra blankets on the couch.
Oh, we'll be warm enough.
At 15 degrees? Well, anyway, we'll stay fresh for months.
What is it?
A Benjamin.
Do you need anything? There are towels on the rack.
I just saw the light under your door. It's 12:05, Benjamin.
Oh. All right.
Good night, son.
Good night.
Benjamin.
Yes?
Do you think I could sneak in a flashlight and read under the covers?
Father was up early in the morning and made breakfast for the whole family.
There we are. Fresh squeezed orange juice, hot cereal, wheat cakes with molasses, and cocoa.
Cocoa? We usually have a cup of coffee.
Oh, just a 7-ounce cup. I can't... Ben can't get started in the morning without his coffee.
Dependency upon artificial stimulants is a weakness of character, Benjamin. I'll pour your cocoa.
I want my coffee.
Now, Liz, you don't want to hurt his feelings. After all, he did make the breakfast.
Without coffee?
I'll have it in a minute. Coffee contains caffeine and other injurious elements.
I want a nice hot cup of injurious elements with heavy cream.
Now, one cup of coffee isn't going to make as much difference as all that.
Oh, I know. You'll head for the nearest drugstore on the way to work, but I'm stuck here.
Well, I'll bring you some tonight in a thermos.
Thanks.
Ah, here we are. 2 brimful piping hot cups of Marriott's special blend cocoa. Well, are you having some trouble, Emily?
Oh, I sure am, Grandpa. Can you do a geometry problem when everything is unknown?
Oh, you've set the proposition up wrong. Start by writing out the Pythagorean theorem. You do know it.
Well, not exactly offhand.
There's nothing offhand about mathematics.
Mr. Jacobson says geometry is like playing the piano. You have to practice.
And he's quite right. How about an hour of drill every weeknight after supper?
But a whole hour?
Oh, you'll soon find that mathematics is more thrilling than music or popular fiction.
I will?
If we attack this together in an organized manner... Within a few weeks, you'll be begging me to start you in advanced trigonometry.
Hello!
In the kitchen, Ben.
Don't bother fixing anything, Liz. I had a bite downtown.
How big a bite?
Just a sandwich and coffee.
How would you like to smuggle me in a few coffee beans in the heels of your shoes?
It wasn't very good coffee.
We had a lovely supper.
Well, that's fine.
Turnip greens.
Father's idea?
They're jam-packed with some obscure vitamin. Pete ate 2 portions.
What did you use, a bullwhip?
He saw Father pick up a chair by one leg and hold it at arm's length.
What's Emily doing?
Nicely geometry session.
I guess Father gets a kick out of sort of getting back to teaching.
Ben, Emily doesn't like geometry.
She'll learn from Father. If there's one thing he knows how to do, it's study drill.
Look, Ben, you've just got to do something. You've got to talk to him.
About what?
Well, everything.
No, Liz.
He is a sweet old man, I know, and he's so enthusiastic. But Ben, he has a whim of iron.
Well, he's just trying to be helpful.
He rearranged my linen closet this afternoon.
Did a good job, I bet.
Oh, yes, it's very neat, very efficient. But it's not the way I have my linen closet.
I know, Liz, but it really isn't very important, is it?
Ben, I have a perfect right to have my linen closet the way I want it.
It seems so trivial.
It is. That's what makes it important.
That's ridiculous.
No, it isn't, Ben. The way we do things belongs to us. It makes our family. My illogical linen closet is very precious to me.
Well, I can't tell Father that. I wouldn't know how to put it.
Put it some way.
It was only for 3 weeks.
Ben.
All right, I'll talk to him. Tomorrow? You see, Father, I don't quite know how to put this. We've always been rather relaxed about things. We've been flexible.
I've noticed that, Ben. You were like that when you were a boy.
Was I?
Oh, yes. You always used to have your knickers down around your ankles.
My.
Refuse to wear garters. Pull up your trouser leg.
What? Oh, trouser leg.
I thought so. Still no garters.
Well, I don't really need them, Father. I mean, these are rib-topped socks.
Garters are a mark of a careful and prudent man.
Father, I don't use...
I'll buy you a pair tomorrow.
Father, I want to talk to you about, well, the whole question of our family routine.
I thought you'd want to talk about that, Benjamin. I enjoy helping you children. I'm glad I'm still needed. I think I'll run out and get those garters tonight. You can wear them to the office tomorrow.
Ben, did you talk to him?
Yes, I talked to him.
Well, what happened?
I have to wear garters. We lived through the week. Liz rebelled about Thursday breakfast and brewed herself a cup of coffee strong enough to tan leather. I suppose I was avoiding the issue. But I thought it was selfish to object to, well, so many little things. So I sipped my cocoa, straightened my garters, and went off to work. Friday night, things came to a head. Liz was in supervising Pete's bath.
All right, Emily, I'm ready now. I have the books all laid out on the dining room table.
What books, Grandpa?
Tonight, we'll review factoring and...
Oh, no, Grandpa. Tonight's Friday night.
Yes, I know.
Well, I don't study on Friday night.
We agreed to have our little drills every weeknight.
Well, not Friday.
Friday is still in the week.
But, gee, Friday night.
The sooner we get to it, Emily, the sooner it'll be over.
Well, there's somebody... Bobby Logan's coming over. He's already half an hour late.
Is that a tall boy, about 6'2", something like a whooping crane?
That's Bobby.
You see, I couldn't possibly have a geometry lesson tonight, Grandpa. He'll be here any minute.
He's already been here. About 35 minutes ago. You were showering, I believe. He went away.
He went away? Well, he couldn't.
We had a pleasant little chat.
Grandpa, what did you tell him?
I pointed out that you had a prior obligation to our little mathematical sessions. He seemed to be a very understanding boy. He said he didn't realize you thought geometry was that important.
Oh, no. Grandpa, you didn't. Not really.
Now, don't worry about it, my dear. I'm sure he understood the value of sticking to regular study schedules and respects you for it. Now, factoring.
Daddy. Daddy.
Yes, Emily.
Didn't you hear? Daddy, he sent Bobby away. I had a date. Oh, Grandpa, how could you?
Now, Emily, I think you're making quite a fuss over nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. You didn't have any right to do that. It isn't fair. Daddy!
I think we'd better start our little lesson.
You didn't have any right to send Bobby away. You don't have any right to make me do geometry on Friday night.
Emily, I have 10 problems set up. We might as well get to them.
No.
Emily.
No, I won't do any more geometry. I won't.
I think you'll have to stay in the house this weekend until you do.
You can't do that to me.
Now, let's get started.
You can't do that. You're not my father.
Emily.
Daddy, he can't do that. It isn't fair.
Now, listen, Emily. Emily. It's just a date. There'll be others. You see Bobby every day at school. Why don't you just do the problems?
No. No, I won't. Grandpa, you can't make me stay in the house. Daddy, you know it isn't fair. Daddy!
Emily, it really wouldn't take you very long to do the problems.
But it just isn't fair. He can't do that to me, can he?
If Grandfather said that, I think you'll have to stay in if you don't. I mean...
Oh, Daddy, it isn't fair. It isn't fair, and you know it. You wouldn't do that to me. What's happened to you, Daddy?
Don't worry, Benjamin. Discipline is a hard thing to enforce, but it's necessary. Emily is a fine child, basically.
She was right. I wouldn't do that to her.
In time, a child learns.
It wasn't fair to humiliate her in front of Bobby and then punish her for protesting.
The most important thing is a sense of values. First things first. In our family, children have always learned to follow order and regulation.
This isn't your family, Father. It's mine. I'm Emily's father.
Of course, Benjamin. That's why I'm glad to see you being firm. Too many parents...
Father, you never will listen to me, will you? You never have. Well, you've got to now. You can't do this anymore. You can't make everything go your way. I've tried to tell myself that it was trivial, that it wasn't important, but it is. I can't let you run Emily's life, or mine. I'll let it go on too long. Habit, I guess, but it's a habit we'd better break right now. Father, I'm sorry. Emily will not stay in this weekend, and she will not do those geometry problems because it isn't fair, and we don't handle our children that way.
Benjamin, drill and study never hurt a child, and firm discipline is necessary.
Oh, yes, of course. Sometimes you learn some very important things. Necessity is the argument of tyrants. William Pitt the Younger, 1779 to 1806. And rebellion to tyranny is obedience to God. Thomas Jefferson, 1743 to 18... something or other. You remember those, Father? 2 of your 100 cardinal facts. I'm afraid that I forgot them for a moment.
Benny, I didn't mean to hurt Emily.
I know, Father, I'm sorry. It isn't your fault, really. You shouldn't have to change. It was up to me.
Ben, really, I'm a little confused. Was I too harsh on the child? Sometimes I forget, you know.
I know, Father. You love the kids, and they love you.
I didn't realize. I wanted to be helpful. Excuse me.
Wait a minute, Father. I think you'd better wait.
Emily.
Maybe you'd better let her alone for a while.
Emily, I have come to apologize.
You have?
I'm afraid I didn't understand. I'm told I had no right to send that boy away. If you like, I'll write a note of explanation.
A note? To Bobby?
Further, I'm afraid I enjoyed teaching again more than you enjoyed learning. On reflection, I believe I had no right to punish you. I apologize.
That's all right, Grandpa.
Emily, I thought I was helping you. It's very hard for an old man to realize that he isn't in charge. You see, for all those years, I had all the children in the school, and you aren't really angry with me, are you?
No, it just wasn't fair. It wasn't anything personal, Grandpa.
Thank you, Emily. Well, if it'll do any good, I'll go down to the drugstore and bring back a quart of ice cream.
Ice cream! Yay!
You know, we can hear that through 4 doors.
I'll heat up the coffee. I'll make cocoa.
Elizabeth, I'll have coffee.
Coffee, I'm told, goes very well with ice cream.
All right. Coffee.
Good. And, Elizabeth.
Yeah?
While you're heating the coffee pot, perhaps there's room on the burners for a small saucepan of milk?
Of course there is.
Perhaps a little honey? A scant teaspoon?
Milk and honey. I'll be glad to.
Just float the egg yolk on top.
Egg yolk?
Separated, of course. You can use the whites for meringue. You like meringue, I hope.
We'll learn to like it, Father.
That's good. I don't want to be any trouble at all.
Ben and Liz Marriott will be back in just a moment. In the meantime, let us extend an invitation on behalf of our stars, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, as well as the National Broadcasting Company, to all of you to drop by next week at this time for another half-hour observation and transcription of The Marriage, written by Ernest Ganoy, with Denise Alexander heard as Emily, David Pfeffer as Pete, and Edwin Jerome as Father Marriott. To those of you who have been so generous in writing, either to the network or to the stars, to express your appreciation of The Marriage, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin extend warm thanks.
Tonight, Joan Fontaine stars in NBC Star Playhouse on the NBC Radio Network.
The Marriage, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from the 7th of February, 1954. And that brings to a close this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levillier. Thanks for listening.